current state on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. Thanks for joining us. Big data is being applied across a broad spectrum of disciplines. Businesses are using it to forecast consumer trends, political junkies to predict elections before they happen, and scientists are decoding DNA in minutes, working to find cures and prevent disease. Big data can also tell us a lot about the environment, so much that it's shifting the discipline of ecology, creating a new field called macro systems ecology. And Michigan State University Professor Patricia Serrano is a pioneer of macro systems ecology. She joins us now to tell us more. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Before we get into this new field of ecology, talk to us about the more traditional approach to ecology.
Sure. So ecologists are a bunch who like to be outdoors generally, and that suits us well because one of the best ways to study natural systems is to be outside collecting samples, sometimes doing experiments outside, and sometimes bringing samples back to the lab and processing them in the laboratory.
Okay. And what's changed?
Well, we can't just study one ecosystem or one system. Often we go out and sample one lake or one stand of forest. But now we have to understand how thousands of lakes work, how thousands of lakes and forests might respond to climate change, or how they might respond to changes in pathogens that are coming in invasive species. And to understand that, you have to look at more than one system. And you have to sort of scale back and look at a whole region and sometimes a whole continent. And every once in a while, you have to look at how other continents or the globe is influencing the region that you're looking at.
So globalization has taken place in more than just the economy.
Yes, exactly.
It's really changed a lot of other things as well.
Definitely.
Could you give us an example of the kinds of research questions that might be asked in the macro system ecology field?
Yeah, so I mentioned already the effect of climate change.
Yeah.
So ecologists have been studying potential effects of climate change for years now. But we also know that, for example, to predict ranges of species change, particularly invasive species, we need to be studying the borders of those ranges. We also need to study in the middle of the ranges where organisms are. So we're talking about potentially studying the entire continent of North America if we want to look at, for example, how mosquitoes and mosquito species are going to change with climate change. And mosquitoes are a really important vector of some diseases that obviously affect humans. And so we need to step back and look at much broader scales. So climate change, land use change, invasive species, these are examples of problems where just looking at one system, we can't get the full picture.
This seems to be such a product of computerization and in the digital world. You're able to acquire mountains more data than you used to.
Right.
But you've also got the tools in so-called supercomputers to really crunch an awful lot more
right.
data. So you got more data coming in and you're able to do more things with it. Is that a way to look at this?
Right. It's an intersection of a lot of really exciting changes in science right now. So one, we have a lot more data out there. You can think about satellite images. There's more sensors that are being developed to go out and measure the natural world. A great example are camera traps, where we can set out really cheap cameras and monitor mammal populations, typically. We haven't been able to do that in the past because cameras have been expensive and we didn't have the technology. So we've got a lot more data. We have faster computers. And we also have this rich knowledge of the natural world that ecologists have built up from the last 100 years, right? You can't just have data and tools. You also need the theory and the concepts and the knowledge of the natural system to apply all these great data sets and tools to these problems.
Patricia, would you say that any effective measure to address, say, climate change is likely going to come about as a result of macro systems ecology?
Well, I would say we need to take a multi-pronged approach, right? Macro systems ecology would never replace the traditional mode of ecology. We need both. We need to understand the fine scale mechanisms, what's going on at the small scale, but then we need to be able to scale that up to the big scale. And we need to incorporate both into our knowledge. So far, we've focused much more on the fine scale. And what other macrosystems ecologists and myself are saying is that, okay, let's take that knowledge, apply it to the broad scale. And actually, I think the real answer is going to come when we integrate the broad scale and the fine scale.
Where does all of this potentially useful data come from?
Oh, that's a great question. So a lot of different sources. So satellite imagery is one, and there's been satellites circling the globe for decades now, but we're getting newer sensors. We have faster computers to process that satellite imagery, but satellites don't measure everything. Another great, exciting source is citizen data. So citizens out there collecting data, inputting it in their iPhones, and sending it to researchers. That's a really new and exciting area of merging sort of citizen and public participation and technology. Another great source is ecologists are starting to band together those who study individual sites in different parts of the globe and saying, you know what, let's put all our data together. Let's try to use common methods, and then we can analyze our data all together. And so these are emerging networks, and sometimes these networks are grassroots, so ecologists just getting together, and sometimes the government is organizing these government agencies. So it's a really exciting time for lots of different areas of data are coming together.
Our guest is Patricia Serrano. She's a professor in the Department of Fisheries and Wildlife here at Michigan State University. We're talking about macrosystems ecology, an emerging field. How does macrosystems ecology redefine the culture of what you do? How does it manifest itself in a university setting?
That's a great question, because ecologists, you know, as scientists, we have a culture that we're used to working with. Ecologists are used to working with other people, but not that many other people. For example, when I was trained, I worked with about five other people, and that was viewed as a fairly collaborative project. Now I have a team of about 20 people that are very interdisciplinary. So I have geographers, computer scientists, statisticians, database administrators.
Will this increase interdisciplinary collaboration?
I think so, yes. And I think a lot of science is going in this direction, recognizing that problems are getting more complex, so we need multiple disciplines working together.
Just navigating this landscape sounds headache-inducing. it sounds like a huge challenge.
It is. So managing large teams is challenging, and I'm lucky to have one of the leading ecologists, I think, in the country who is figuring out ways to make teams work better. And she is helping our team function wonderfully.
I have to ask, do you think that this emphasis on macrosystems, will this bring a different kind of student into the field of ecology?
I'm actually hoping that it does, because I think ecology needs to broaden its base of people who become interested in the field. And so this focus on integrating technology, more computing, maybe a little broader scale, looking at potential links to human health, that can bring a more diverse student body into the field to tackle some really challenging problems that are facing the globe. And I think for ecology to be viable and to solve these problems, we need to diversify our student body.
You've been acknowledged as a pioneer of macrosystems ecology. Who are you collaborating with, and where are these people? Are they primarily in this country? Are they in Europe? Where are they?
Well, there's a lot of people doing this kind of research. The team that I'm leading right now are primarily in the United States, Wisconsin, Iowa, Penn State, so pretty broad across the United States. But really, people are doing this across the globe.
This will only continue to change, won't it?
I hope so.
Continually accelerate the threshold of the data that you're able to gather and process?
I hope so. I hope this is just the beginning, and it's a really exciting time to be an ecologist. I can just think about how ecology is going to look 30 years from now, and I hope it's a very different landscape.
It's not an official program, from what I'm told, but you see it growing into a more established program in the future?
I hope so, because I think that will really help crystallize attracting students, particularly in computing and informatics, database management. Those are the kind of skills we really need to move this research forward. And we need those people to be active players on the teams. They can't just be support staff. They've got to be sitting at the table and driving the research. So I think formal programs will help us get there.
Is there a particular ecological challenge that you spend most of your time looking at or involved with?
Well, right now my team is studying water quality and the response that water quality will likely have to climate change and land use change, say in the next 30 years. So we've compiled data on 55,000 lakes across the country and are trying to study the diversity of water quality that we have now and make the links to land use and climate to forecast how that might change in the future.
We're talking smaller inland lakes, or do you ever look at the Great Lakes?
Actually, mostly inland lakes, but we do include the Great Lakes in our data. And so we might include sort of them as a very unusual case, but they would be an interesting comparison to the inland lakes.
Okay,
yes.
Very good. Well, we want to thank you for your participation here today. Very interesting discussion. Patricia Serrano is a professor in the Department of Fisheries and Wildlife here at Michigan State University. She's considered a leader in the field of macro systems ecology. Good luck.
Thank you very much.